Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this wonderful moment, Lord, that we could all come into Thy presence, Lord, with Brother Max and Brother Jose, and praise Thee and glorify Thee and magnify Thee. Thank You for this wonderful time that Thou was given us, Father. And Thy servant David said, Lord, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. As we come to Thy presence, Father, speak to us, bless this worship, bless us testimonies, Lord, strengthen us, prepare us for the rapture and for the week that lies ahead, Father. And Father, as we abide at Thy presence, we pray that You would use us as Thy transistors, Lord, so the message will be from Thee and not from man. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Father, as Thy word says, give us this day our daily bread. And as You said, Lord, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We pray that You would take this verse, You would split it, You would break it, and You would feed us, Father, because we are not just flesh and bones, but we are soul and spirit. We need Thy word in these days more than any time. In Jesus' name we pray, Father. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Romans 8 is one of the chapters, hallelujah, praise God, in which the word children of God, sons of God, Abba Father, Spirit-bearing witness is mentioned again and again and again. And in verse 17 it says, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. When we read John 3:16, in fact, I had a friend in my class in 8th grade, and his father loved that verse so much that he named him John 3:16. So that was his name. Well, we called him John, but his name was John 3:16. God so loved the world. How did He love it? By giving His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When Jesus Christ was walking on this planet, about to give His life, the secret that man could become a Son of God, not the Son of God, but a Son of God, was not known. In fact, we know, Brother Jose and Brother Max would know very well, that one of the reasons they wanted to crucify and get rid of Jesus is because Jesus said God was His Father. For the Jews, the term Elohim and God is so sacred that calling God Father or saying that I am God's son was blasphemy to the scribes and the priests. But when the Holy Spirit got poured out on the day of Pentecost on the apostles and the early church, He started confirming that they are truly the sons of God. When we read the book of Hebrews, the Bible tells us very clearly, God wanted to bring many more sons into glory. In order to bring many more sons, many more children, sons and daughters into glory. In fact, the Bible says in the book of Corinthians, I will walk among them, I will move among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people, and I will be their father, and they shall be my sons and daughters. The word sons applies to male as well as to female, because we are the children of Almighty God. So God already had the only begotten son. A lady once told the pastor she didn't remember that verse, and instead of saying only begotten son, she said forgotten son. Well, on the cross of Calvary, the Bible says God the Father forsook Jesus. He had to forget Jesus for a brief moment. And Jesus said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. Jesus said, Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? God could not look at the sin on Jesus and had to forsake him very briefly. And in the Old Testament it says, I forsook thee briefly, but with everlasting kindness have I drawn thee back to me. So why all this pain and suffering on the cross of Calvary? All because even before Jesus came into this world, there was a dialogue in heaven. Jesus was in the bosom of the Father before the foundation of the world, and many times appeared in the Old Testament also and was manifested in the New Testament. But in heaven, there is a discussion going on, and God the Father says, Son, go get my children home. Go get my other sons. I miss them. I long for them. I love them. I want my children back. And Jesus said, I will go, Father. We have sent prophets. We have sent so many people. But in order for you to redeem back your sons, my blood has to be shed and your Holy Spirit has to be poured out. Only then will they understand that they are the sons of God and that you are their Father. Unless I shed my blood and send them the Holy Spirit, they will be afraid of thee, Father. And so Jesus came. One thing Jesus came is to let us know that we are called to be the sons of God. We cannot understand the grace of God, but the Bible says Jesus is our elder brother and we are his younger brothers. And if you read that in the New Testament, it's amazing. How can God Almighty, Jesus Christ, who has no beginning or no end, come to us who are made of the dust of this earth and say, Brother Max, Brother Jose, Brother Daniel, that's what he's saying. But when we hear him, we are shocked. Jesus, you called me your brother? You are God Almighty. And that's what Jesus said. When the sisters went to the grave and the men were really scared, they didn't want to be crucified like Jesus. They were afraid for their life, but later they all died as martyrs when the Holy Spirit came upon them. So when the women saw Jesus, the first to see Jesus Christ, because of the love they had for Jesus, Jesus said, go tell my brethren and Peter, because, you know, Jesus knew Peter will say, nope, I deny Jesus, I'm not his brother. So go tell my brethren that I go to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Wait a minute. Jesus is saying God the Father is his God and God the Father is my God and your God. Jesus reduced himself in the form of a servant. Even though he's Almighty God, he's trying to make us understand that even though he's Almighty God, he's trying to understand that he has equated himself with us. Actually, what happened is Jesus didn't lower himself to us when he rose from the dead. We were wallowing in the dust and he raised us up. Jesus is always Almighty God. Jesus is always the beginning and the end. Jesus is the Holy One who lives forever. But we were zeros. We were nothing. And therefore, as in Ephesians 2, when Jesus rose up and sat at the right hand of God. Guess who he took with him? He took us. We who were dead in trespasses and sins, as he raised us up to be seated together on thrones with Jesus Christ. So if we happen to see angels or Gabriel or Michael and get a little stunned and act as if they are superior to us, they would be extremely disappointed. We are brethren of Jesus Christ. That we need to understand. We are sons of Almighty God. Now, pride comes before a fall, but that's not pride. That is understanding who we are. We didn't exalt ourselves to be the bride of Christ. We didn't exalt ourselves to be like Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one who pulled us up. He said, come up here. Why are you sitting up down there in the dust? Come up here. You're a prince. You're a king. You're a priest. You've been called just like me. So come and sit with me. That is why the Bible tells us in the New Testament about grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. In fact, this grace is so abundant, so glorious, beyond imagination. And the love of Jesus cannot be measured. There is no north, south, east, or west for the love of Jesus. It's infinite love. That love where Jesus could call us his brethren, where God the Father could look at us and call us his son. In fact, when I accepted the Lord in the beginning, I used to think that I had to do so many things to please God, to earn his favor. One day I was in San Antonio and I heard the voice of God very clearly. And God said to me, my son, I love you not because of what you do, but because of what you are. We are the sons of Almighty God. Doesn't mean that we can live like the world, but God loves us not because of our deeds, but because of our faith. Even if our deeds are holy and pure in his sight, it is not because of our own strength, but because the Holy Spirit abides in us and inspires us. And that man who slept in Jerusalem and the angels met him and said, we are very disappointed with you guys. You are so powerful, more powerful than the angels. And you walk around stooping down as if you're powerless. The demons look at God and tremble. The demons look at the sons of God and tremble. And the man began to understand. And the angel left him with this word. If we ask God for something, we are your servants and God's servants. There is no reason why God should answer our request, because we are his servants. But if you go into the presence of God and say, Father, I need this according to your will, it will immediately be done. And now we begin to understand why Jesus was a little upset with his disciples. So they wake him up in the storm. And he stills the storm. And they say, what manner of man is this? And he said, wait a minute. Don't you know who you are? You could have done the same thing. And Peter walked on the water just like Jesus. But when the Holy Spirit came upon his apostles, the word came to pass. You who have believed on me, the same works that I did shall ye do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. I think all over the world, Christians have an identity problem. I know me, Brother Max and Jose perfectly understand this. We know who we are. We know we are the sons of Almighty God. But there is an identity crisis in this world. Whatever the powers of darkness, witches, Satan, Lucifer, powers of darkness, everything is under our feet. But that is the power and authority that we have as sons of Almighty God. We have the same power as Jesus Christ, because the Bible says in the book of Ephesians and Philippians that God has sent us the same Holy Spirit that He sent. The same power that raised Christ from the dead has raised us up and made us sons of God. So, this power and authority over creation, this power and authority over the universe, this power and authority over demons and the powers of darkness, this power and authority over sickness, this power and authority over anything. Why has this term been given to us as the sons of Almighty God, the greatest creation? No creation is equal to us because we are sons of God. Why has all this been given to us? We understand that. We understand why God wanted more sons. He had His only begotten Son, Son of God, Almighty Jesus Christ. But He wanted more sons. He said, "My Son Jesus, Thou art God, Almighty God. Thou hast no beginning or no end. Your word will stand forever. The heavens and the earth will pass away, but Your word, My Son Jesus, won't pass away. I want You to go bring Me more sons." Why? God, in the Father of our Father, in the Garden of Eden, what did He say? Did He say, "Adam, how many hours did you pray? How many hours did you read the Bible?" That is all very important. We have to read the Bible for hours and pray for hours. How many hours did you praise? Yes, we have to praise God for hours. But what did God ask in the Garden of Eden? "Adam, where art thou? I long for thee, my child. I remember yesterday you came and hugged me and embraced me and sat on my lap. And we enjoyed each other's company. And you called me Dada. You called me Father. What happened, my son? Yesterday you called me Father. Today you're hiding behind the trees. What happened to you, my son, my child?" God wanted to have fellowship with Adam. The reason we are made sons of God is not so that we can have power and authority over the demons, not that we can have power over finance and everything else. The reason God has made us His sons is so that He can enjoy our fellowship and we can enjoy His fellowship. That's why the Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Today people worry about finance. "Well, Lord, I got only $5 and I have bills for $10,000. So what? There was nothing in the wilderness. There wasn't even $5. And God rained manna from heaven and gave water from the rock. And He was a cloud and a wall of fire. Our God is a source of all things. Shouldn't we long for His fellowship instead of longing for His bank account? Shouldn't we long for His fellowship instead of longing for the things that He gives us? You know, we who have children understand that. And I'm sure one of these days God is going to bless Brother Max also with children. And as fathers, we long for our children's fellowship. And that is who our God is. He called us his sons, sent us his Holy Spirit, and now he wants us to talk to him, to spend time with him, to enjoy his company, to fellowship with him, not to tell him all our problems, but to enjoy him, enjoy his fellowship, because he's our dada, he's our father. When he calls us, when he speaks to us, he calls us his son, his children. The Ephesian church in Revelation 2, what a glorious church. They worked really for God. They prayed, they fasted, they did soul winning. They did everything. They knew who were the false apostles. They knew the Bible like the back of their hands. And what did God say? Oh, that's wonderful. Yes, he said that's wonderful. That's good. Knowing the Bible, praying, all that is very important. But what did God say? You have left your first love. Everything is in love. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. One thing that captured Jesus' attention when he was in this world. Of course, faith got his attention, but love. That woman, she spent all her life's earnings and bought that box of perfume, poured it at the feet of Jesus, enjoyed his company, and cried. She didn't have water. Where is she going to get water? She's in somebody else's house. And he's a big shot. He's a big guy. Rich man. So what did she do? She wiped the feet of Jesus with her tears. She didn't have a towel. So what did she do? She wiped the wet feet of Jesus with her hair. And Jesus told the Pharisee, I came into your house, man. You didn't wash my feet. I came into my house, you didn't give me soap. No towel. This woman cried at my feet, wiped my feet with her tears. And instead of a towel, she used her own hair. All the hair is the woman's glory. Therefore, her sins are all forgiven. And wherever the gospel is preached, what this woman has done will be preached. Because her love for her master, her love for her elder brother, her love for God was infinite love. There is different kinds of love in this world. Brotherly love, sisterly love, love for the parents, love for friends. But we have been given the Holy Spirit. So we will have the divine love, the same love that God gave us. We are not too thrilled with the fact that everything that God has, his inheritance is ours. We have all power and authority. Everything is ours, heaven and earth, as Apostle Paul says, everything is yours. But none of that impresses us. Our eyes are upon our Father. We love him. Daddy, we love you. He's our father. And Jesus is our elder brother. And you know, all creation, amen, all creation is waiting for us. The planets, the sun, the moon, and the stars, everything, all the animals and the birds, everything is waiting for the manifestation. Romans 8:19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Yes, Jesus appeared, Jesus shed his blood, Jesus rose again from the dead. But Jesus told creation, the curse that is on creation will not be removed unless the sons of God are manifested. And then creation asked Jesus, who are these sons of God? And Jesus said, they are the one that I shed my blood for. They are the one that I purged with my blood. They are the one that I baptized with the Spirit. They are the one that are part of the church of the living God. These are my sons. These are my brethren. And I will manifest them to this universe when the trumpet sounds. May Prabha Shamta Prudana Shanti Virya Tauraba Rukama Satimle Priyanaru Frasam Priyanda Sai Lady Soroma Turuba Shalaba Tam Prabaraba Rikaba Chunubaran Dara Shantaraba Turuba Tauribi Kenda Sai. Hallelujah. We find these sons of God in the book of Revelation. When God speaks, his voice isn't like thunder. And we also see the sons of God, the bride of Christ at the throne. And the Bible says, and I heard a voice from the throne, the voice of a multitude, the bride of Christ, and their voice was like thunder. And that's what Jesus prayed for. Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me dissolve. When you put salt in water, you don't see the salt anymore. When you put the sugar in water, you don't see the sugar anymore. Water is two atoms of hydrogen and one atom of oxygen. You might as well say it's the analogous to the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. That is why in John chapter 17, Jesus said, my glory have I given unto them, that they may be one, even as we are one. We may not see it when we look at the mirror. We don't see that. But the devil sees that. The angels see that. God sees that. When God sees that, when God looks at us in all glory, because we have the Holy Spirit. We look like Jesus. We talk like Jesus. We walk like Jesus. We shine like Jesus. No wonder the devil runs for his life when he sees us coming. We are the sons of God. The whole creation is waiting for us to be manifested. There is no power on earth. There is no man. There is no evil, there is no financial problem or sickness that can touch us. If you look at how this chapter ends, whatever challenges we go through, in all these things, Romans 8:37, nay, nothing can shake us, because in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. How did he love us? We were in the trash can and he took us up and he called us sons of Almighty God. He called us kings and priests and put a crown on his head and he held our hand and he said, these are my brethren. I don't think Queen Elizabeth would say that. I don't think Prince Charles and all the dignitaries would say that. But who cares? God Almighty, the greatest in the universe, took us up from the dust and made us sit with him on thrones and placed a crown on us and said, you are my sons, you are my brethren. And Father, God the Father said, yes, they are. When we get up in the morning, God the Father is longing for us. So we will say, Father, Daddy, thank you for another day. I love you, Daddy. I want to be in thy presence. I want to be talking to you all the time. And evening when we are tired. I was so excited when Brother Max said, before we all get tired and go to sleep, it'll be nice to say, Daddy, we came to see you. We want to sit on your lap and enjoy your beautiful voice. Because we love you, Father. We adore you. And the Bible says, I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. That is why Jesus said, my sheep are in the hands of the Father, and no one shall pluck them out of the Father's hand. Whatever happens, if there is a nuclear attack, if there is a storm, we just don't care. But we will pray for others because we are the sons of Almighty God. Our focus is on Jesus Christ, our heavenly bridegroom. Very soon this life in the wilderness is going to end. In the book of Solomon, Song of Solomon, the Bible says, who is this that cometh out of the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? Who is this? That is the bride of Christ. She came out of the wilderness, leaning on Jesus Christ. Song of Solomon, Jesus is calling the bride. Oh, my love, my perfect one, that dwelleth in the clefts of the rock. When Jesus was wounded on the cross of Calvary, he had bruises, he had wounds. He is the rock, and those are the clefts of the rock. Understand that you're settled, you're safe in the clefts of the rock. From the enemy hunters, you're safe. But my bride, I want to see your face. I want to hear your voice. Where are you? Even as God said, Adam, where art thou? Today, Jesus is calling for his bride. He's warning his bride. Don't be like the five foolish virgins. They were caught up in the things of this world. They worried too much, and they got left out in the rapture because of worry. My God shall supply all my need, not our greed, according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Our duty is to enjoy God. Our duty is to enjoy the presence of God. Our duty is to enjoy fellowship with God. That is why we were created. That is why we were called the sons of Almighty God. I don't care if bullets are whizzing all around me. My focus is on my Father. When I was a little kid, I saw a movie once where everybody was shooting at this man and all those bullets turned into Cadbury chocolate. Maybe they will. Because we need to focus on Almighty God. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that riseth up against thee in judgment shalt thou condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of God. We have all these promises. Our focus is the arms and embrace and the fellowship of God, our Father. Why did COVID-19 strike? Because man has lost fellowship with God. The chosen, the sheep, are in movie theaters, are in dance parties, are in the bar, are dancing their way to the lake of fire. And God the Father said, okay, I know how to get your attention, my children. This is not going to be good for you, my sons and daughters. That will kill you. And they said, well, maybe. Haven't you heard the preaching, the word that is getting propagated on the internet? Well, yeah, but we want to have fun. And God said, okay, here's COVID-19. You didn't come back to me in 2019. I always wondered why they called it COVID-19. 2019 passed. The sons of God, chosen before the foundation of the world, refused to come back to their Father. And God said, okay, there it is. Now, did God actually send this calamity? God does not do these things directly. In the book of Job, the devil went to God and said, Lord, Job is just after your money and your protection. And God said, that's fine. Do whatever you want, but don't touch his life. You cannot kill him. And so the devil went to God and said, well, look at your people, your sons. This world is really bad. I got a little pack of COVID in my back pocket. Do I have your permission to release that? And the father, nope, wait. I'll let you know when. Maybe they'll come to me by February of 2020. Maybe by March 15th. And the devil visits him for the 100th time. Lord, they're not going to come. They're having too much fun. They're having parties. They have a lot of money. They're not going to come to you. Okay, release COVID-19. That's fine. You know, one thing we need to understand. God is our Father. And for those who hear this message outside the church, please understand that even Lucifer, the devil, the virus, the snakes, the scorpions, the venom, everything, the earthquakes, the hurricanes, nuclear attacks, everything is under God's feet. When Ahab, the king in the Old Testament, defied God, God said, who will entice Ahab to go to battle? Because the prophecy says he will go die in battle and get killed. And the angels gave God advice and he said, nope, your plan is not going to work. Your advice is not going to work. And then a lying spirit came to God and said, I will go be a lying spirit in the mouth of Ahab's prophets. And God told the lying spirit, yep, you will prosper. You'll do good. And he sent it. Even the lying spirits are under the authority of God. When Saul became jealous of David, guess what happened? The Holy Spirit departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord. We need to read the Bible. It didn't say an evil spirit from hell, an evil spirit from the Lord. Everybody is under his authority. Lucifer is on a leash, and God is holding the leash in his hand. I think we say exactly what is going on. All these demons, all these sickness, all these snakes are like a dog in the hand of God Almighty on a leash. That is why the people of this world need to fear God. How much blasphemy, how much they talk about God. If COVID-19 doesn't bring the sons of God back to God, something else is going to happen. God will get the attention of the sheep. Now, there are some faithful. When I came to USA, I wanted to go out. I wanted to give tracts. I wanted to bring this nation back to God. I wanted to give the truth. I wanted the sons and daughters to come back to their father. And as I was praying that night, the Lord Jesus appeared to me in my dream. And he said, do not go out and preach and evangelize like you're planning, because this people of the United States of America will not listen. Therefore, I will stretch forth my hands at the right time with signs and wonders and mighty deeds, and I will manifest my power. And then he showed me a big evangelistic convention was going on. New Jerusalem Church was holding that convention. There were literally millions in the auditorium. I didn't know how an auditorium could hold that many number of people. And as we elders were in the stage preaching the word, suddenly I looked and Jesus walked into the auditorium. And he said, I have come to manifest my power. And signs and wonders and dead were being raised. Marvelous things were happening. A lot of people want to go to Afghanistan, want to go to Turkey, want to go to all the other places. It is good to preach the word of God and to do soul winning. But did God tell you to? Woe unto those who run, and I have not sent them, saith the Lord. Today, right now, the time is to kneel down and pray to God Almighty. That is where Leonard Ravenhill said, Satan trembles when the weakest saint kneels down to pray. John Knox went on top of a hill and said, Give me Scotland or I die. And a great revival. John Wesley spent about 8 hours on his knees praying for revival in England. The place where he prayed, that carpet has a dent in it, and it is still being preserved as a historic place of John Wesley's house. D.L. Moody, they said, how come people come into the auditorium and fall down and say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner? And we preach all our life, and everybody is still partying. And he said, look behind the screen. And they saw about 30 people crying, agonizing, praying in the power of the Holy Spirit. Tears running down their face, praying for souls. He said, it wasn't the preaching that did it, brother. It was the praying, the agonizing prayer for the souls. And that's what God told me to do. A man from India went to a prayer mountain in Dallas recently because he said, wow, a prayer mountain in the U.S. And an old man with beautiful hair came from the woods and told him, okay, I know your name. You're from this place in India, right? I said, how did you know that? And he said, I have come to tell you Jesus is coming soon. It is important to propagate the word and share the word as the Holy Spirit tells us and evangelize as the Holy Spirit tells us. But we should not become like the Ephesian church to whom God said, thank you for your ministry. Thank you for your evangelization. But you have lost your first love. And if you don't repent, I will take your candlestick out of his place. There were a lot of people that gathered together in India. All the great Pentecostals gathered together. All the leaders of the world churches, the Pentecostals gathered together and said, Lord, what happened? Why is the world not getting evangelized? Whatever happened, Lord? Why is our preaching going in vain? Suddenly, there was a power outage. The light went out. And a fiery hand, a hand of fire, wrote something on the ground. And after the light came back, they looked at what was written. It said, repent, R-E-P-E-N-T. So God told the pastors and the great men, all the Pentecostals, the leaders of global evangelization, before you pray for souls, you repent. Our God is a holy God. We just cannot be playing. We cannot be playing around. All these global leaders, TV evangelists, a warning to you. Repent before it's too late. Because the judgment of God is going to start in the church of the living God. When God starts judging, there will be a lot of tears. The way judgment will start in the church, God will expose the wickedness of the leaders who call themselves pastors and TV evangelists. All that wickedness is going to get exposed. God is going to clean up. He is going to clean up. Jesus Christ is coming soon. there is no more time. The latter rain is about to fall. God's power is about to get manifested. And as the Bible says in 1 John, we have this hope. Let us purify ourselves. Jesus closes the book of Revelation by saying, he that is holy, let him be holy still. He that is wicked, let him be wicked still. Don't keep worrying. You told them 1,000 times, they didn't listen. Noah preached for 120 years. Only he and his family were saved. Even so, when God tells us to preach, I share the word of God. I do evangelism. I share the word of God to others. I pray for the sick. But I only do within the limits of what God has told me. Because the Bible says, do not throw pearls before the swine. It is very sad. We have come to a time when God has to allow 9-1-1 to happen. We have come to a point where God has to allow COVID-19. But God will do anything so that the sons of God, the sheep, do not enter into the lake of fire. May the sheep return to the church of the living God before God sends the next calamity. May God bless these words. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We are under the wings of Almighty God. We are under the presence of Almighty God. When there was death in Egypt, when the firstborn of Egypt were dead, the children of God in Goshen were protected. We in the church of the living God will be protected. There is no divination against Jacob. There is nothing that can happen against children of God. We are like this, have the strength of an unicorn, and we are the lion's whelp, and we will go forth and conquer. And as the church of the living God, we will grab that prey out of the mouth of the lion and bring them back into the church of the living God. But we will do that with the power of Almighty God. May God bless these words. May God strengthen us. May God help us to cry and pray for the sheep, that God will bring them into his tabernacle before they suffer more pain. May God bless these words and may God strengthen us. May God help us to give us the grace to enjoy his presence. Let us call him Father. Let us call him I love you, Father. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Holy Spirit. Let's enjoy Jesus. We can never understand God. He's our Father. We can enjoy him. May the Lord bless these words and strengthen us.